Ghost stories are always scarier when they're told by the very people who experience them. Hi, I'm Becky.
And I'm Diana.
And we're the hosts of the Homespun Haints podcast.
We talk to people just like you who have come face to face with ghosts, demons, haints, and other strange paranormal phenomena. All of it makes for a chilling good time.
So grab yourself a sweet tea, turn off the lights, and listen to some eerie, true ghost stories on Homespun Haints, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not scared. Are you?
Welcome. Thanks for joining us again tonight. This week, we discussed the Dead Files episode Burned Alive. This was AP's choice, and she's going to tell you right now why she chose this episode.
As you all know, I do it so scientifically.
We all do.
There was no reason in particular, but I made a list. Surprise, I made a list of something. And this
it wasn't
was one
a
of the
spreadsheet,
ones...
though.
It's no,
just a
this
list.
Was one of the ones on the list, so that... could kind of keep an eye on which ones to do. And I, you know, kind of scrolled over it. And I was like, well, that one sounds interesting. First, the title sounds quite intriguing.
Yeah.
And it's a business. And we all know I like the business ones.
Yep.
So content warning, really the mob mentality. And as we said, it's not like the fun gangster mobs of the 1920s.
No.
This is the pitchfork wielding ones from outside Beast's house in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah,
not and good kind. We do have some little conversation on botched hangings and then a lot of medical jargon. I'm not a doctor, but we did look up some terms to just try and help explain some of the things that were said in the show.
Yep. I would say the hanging part is probably the only content warning, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was pretty gruesome. But we really didn't get into it too much. We didn't talk about all the things I did in the show. But if you watch the episode and you're okay and you survive through that, you'll be fine.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
Enjoy, guys.
I wanted to show you. Hi, everybody. I wanted to show you that I got, I'm having the Empress, which it looks really blue right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It turns colors with the tonic water.
I didn't put anything else in it.
Oh. There's nothing. Oh, you're just going straight up.
I put a lot of ice in it.
So when you put tonic water in it, that's when it's going to go more purple pink.
Oh.
So when it touches the air, and it's a little less dilute than it is in the bottle, then you'll get more of that blue color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was, you can't really see this, but
it's the Empress 1908.
Yeah.
Butterfly pea flower.
Yes. And I still haven't tasted it yet. I poured it like 15 minutes ago, so it's nice and diluted.
Yeah.
And I did bring some shaky lime.
Ooh,
I call it shaky lime, but, you know, it's that lime juice that's powder, to see if it changes color and to see if I need it. I don't know that I'll need it. It smells just like the origin.
Yeah, it's very good. And I finished my mermaid gin over the weekend. One of them.
Yeah. Yep, that's very good.
Mm-hmm. I actually almost sent you another reel on Instagram, but it was a 1908 Empress Gin Mule.
Oh, so with ginger beer or ginger ale?
With ginger beer, yep. So the way that they did it, they layered it. So they had the ginger beer and the lemon juice and stuff below, and then they layered in the gin on top.
Oh.
It was really pretty looking.
Yeah, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, now that the alcohol conversation is out of the way.
There we go.
We can get started. All right. Welcome back, everyone.
We might have some storms that are coming in, too.
Oh,
as
cool.
Hopefully our
computers don't go off again like Megan's did last week.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Makes for really fun editing because then the system doesn't keep recording her, I found out. And so I missed the last 8 minutes of her track. And that was a lot of fun. Because I was able to go through Descript, the company that Squadcast, who records it,
yeah,
and get their cloud files, which are their backup. So I got that, and then I had to download that and add that only as audio. So then I had to take out the that's only video. So then I had to take that video, grab the audio from the other file, mm-hmm. put it together, and sync it up. And then when I put it into the video editing software, it warped. And so her video and audio were in sync for about 5 minutes. And then pretty soon it was off again. And I had to keep cutting and moving and cutting and moving. It took me like 5 hours to do 8 minutes of the episode. God. Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
So now we know that if our screen goes black, we have to stop and restart. Not restart the computer necessarily, but restart the recording.
Good to know. Good to know.
Yeah. You learn things. It shouldn't be
the
like that.
The more you know.
I know. It shouldn't have to be like that. It's just a fault of the system. And we mm-hmm. might have a fix for that too, which I'll get into with you another time.
Okay.
Anyway, you guys all got a little behind the scenes shit there.
Yeah.
Hope you like it.
Welcome.
Welcome back, everyone. Tonight, as mentioned, we're discussing Buried Alive. This was AP's choice, and she is here with your overview. So take it away.
Thank you. Today's episode has us jetting off to Seattle, Washington to meet Darcy, the owner of the Merchant Cafe and Saloon, one of the oldest restaurants in Seattle. You know what that means. It's gonna have some history. Darcy called Steve in over concerns for her employees, customers, and herself. Things are moving or being thrown. They're seeing things like a woman going into the restroom but never coming out again, never being seen again, and weird mist-like clouds. Darcy also explains some significant health issues, but she sank her life savings into this place and it needs to work. We meet a couple of her employees, Matt and Dylan, who are not fans of the activity, so much so that Matt is losing work because he refuses to work in the downstairs bar. Steve starts digging into the history, and the experts he speaks with provide some very dark information. We have fires, including the Great Seattle Fire of 1889, where we know some people perished in these fires. We learn about F.X. Schreiner, who ran the hotel and brothel until he didn't, and his wife, Mary, who was a devout Christian who despised what he did. F.X. left the place in the hands of a new bartender who had a long, slow death. Consequences of his actions? Then lastly, we hear about what could happen with mob mentality and how viciously cruel humans can be when they believe they are in the right. Or were they just led by those who had cruel intentions and felt justified? Amy connects to many energies, claiming, for the time at least, this was an early episode, that this was the most conscious entities of anywhere she had been, all trying to talk to her at once, which is making her sick. She talks about a couple of ghosts or spirits in particular, one an angry man who would throw people down the stairs or do other violent things, another being a woman who is very religious and always praying. Lastly, she describes these weird mist-like creatures that are full of vengeful hate, stating that they likely died in a fire. At the reveal, we see and hear the connections between the history Steve discovered and the entities Amy speaks with. Darcy explains her sickness to Amy, who is not all that surprised because there's bad energy here. In the end, Amy tells Darcy she can get rid of this bad energy and make it safer for all. Does Darcy follow through? Stay tuned to see if the activity continues. Spoiler!
Did you think she was going to do everything?
No.
Oh, I did. I did.
No, because I figured she would maybe do some of it, but I didn't think that she would do all of it.
Well, we learned a little more about Darcy after we watched the episode and did some little background research.
Some digging.
Place. Yeah. Some digging to archives.
Yeah, exactly.
Which, that, by the way, the transcription service said first, you know how when Steve says, hey, I'm Steve mm-hmm. Deshalby, retired New York City homicide defender. This time it said Steve Deshalby, D-E-C-H-A-U-B-E. So now he's mm-hmm. French, apparently.
And wasn't he a retired New York City homicide detective?
Yes. And I've never heard him say defender before, but that's what the transcript said. I did not bother to go back and listen.
I didn't pay attention because I just usually fast forward through that that part.
Yeah, it's possible that he did say detective because defender doesn't sound right. That's a lawyer.
Yeah. And so. there was a lot when I was flipping through the script. I was like, hee-hee, that's not the right word.
I try to catch all of those. I know you do. Always, because it takes me so fucking long to do this. But I
appreciate it.
And I didn't even. Yeah, it's fine.
It works. And yeah, we start off strong. I said we hear from Steve. You know, this is early season. This was, I think it's 2.7 on Discovery on Demand. It's 2.9 in other places. And in still yet other places, you see it's like 3.14. Like, it is all over the place. Wow. When you look it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Those early episodes, they goofed
those
them
early
all.
Seasons are all over the place.
Yeah.
But we hear from Steve, oh, I'm in downtown Seattle to meet Darcy. She's got strange things happening and it's making her physically sick, which I was like, oh, here we go. We're starting off strong with that physically sick. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Which version are we going to hear about physically sick this yeah. time?
Yeah.
And I know right off the bat, too, with Amy, for me, I thought she sounded stuffy right off the bat.
See, so and I didn't notice that until later. And yeah. then I put it together. I was like, oh. Because I'm like, oh, Amy sounds stuffy. And then I was like, oh, my God, I wonder if that has anything to do with, like.
See, and I just figured she came, because right off the bat, she sounds stuffy. So I wonder if she just had a cold right off the
she
bat. Which then,
did.
Which could then also, you know, if you think about, typically, if you have a cold or the crud, you get just exhausted. Mm-hmm. So I would assume that this kind of walk, especially with the amount of entities that she mm-hmm. mentioned, would also make her just even more exhausted
yep.
or worn out faster kind of thing.
Yeah, it's quite possible that in the beginning when she first started her walk, it was mm-hmm. so mild that I didn't notice it. And I think yeah. it was in the reveal when I was like, ooh, she sounds like she's sick.
Yeah.
So it could have just been. I mean, they're probably there for 4 or 5 days, so... That's yeah. all it takes for you to go from a little tickle to full-blown yuck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, as we were watching through this, and we'll get to the part where Darcy talks about her sickness and that sort of stuff. Like, I remember, must have been about a decade ago, my friend moved into her grandparents' house, and then she and her husband bought the house so that they could raise their kids there because they had just gotten married. And what they found out was the slope of the backyard came to the basement at the wrong level. So there was black molds in the basement that they had to get taken care of.
No.
But they didn't realize that until after I'd been there. It was like Labor Day weekend. I had come over to see, you know, what they were doing, how they were setting up everything. And I came back and I don't have allergies. Like, I don't have seasonal allergies. Hold on a second.
She says as she coughs.
As I cough. Yeah. I could feel it in the back of my throat. I don't have seasonal allergies. Like, if it's really bad or it's a really, like, it's all at once, I might get a little stuffy. But all of a sudden that I remember I just got this like scratchiness in the back of my throat. So I thought, okay, maybe it was just that there was spores in the air and I had allergies, whatever. Not until Thanksgiving break of that year and then really Christmas break did it go away. I basically had laryngitis or something, because at one point I was trying to speak and I couldn't talk more than this. I don't know. I thought it's so funny when you watch these old episodes, though, and come back to, you know, what we see them as nowadays. When Steve starts talking with Darcy right off the bat, they are so awkwardly backlit, like from a low angle with a bright light.
Yeah.
And so you see like the shadow reflections on their chin and half their face.
That's called mood lighting, Amy. It's done on purpose.
Oh, it was maybe not the best lighting,
yeah.
though. But you can, like, it just has that feeling of 2010s.
Yeah. Well, and like we've noticed on some of the really old episodes, it feels like it's being recorded, or it looks like it's being, and it probably is, being recorded on video rather than mm-hmm. audio. So it looks like a soap opera. You know
yep.
how it has like no depth
yep.
and it looks all crystal clear and... You know, none of that yeah. moody shit. So I think it's interesting to look at all the different, whatever modes they went through
mm-hmm.
with trying to figure out how to shoot this. Because early episodes look like episodes of the first 48 with the cop car screaming down the street and
yep.
all that. So it all depends on the director.
Yep. Well, and I think you and I have both rewatched a lot of Top Chef seasons. And
yes.
if you go back to some of those early seasons, one, not only are they horrendous to each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Turning each other's ovens off and shit like that. Yeah, they were.
Oh, absolutely.
Flat out sabotage.
What did they do something to Marcel? too. Mm. Like, yeah, they went after him or something.
Yeah, one of the guys grabbed him and tried to shave his head.
Yes.
They were all drunk.
Yep. Yep. And yeah, you don't see that nowadays anymore.
No.
And they're more helping each other because they'd rather beat you if you are, you know, at the top of your game.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
They finally figured that out. It's not winning if you have to sabotage somebody else.
Right. And it, well, that's what most of us
Most people think.
Yep.
Yeah. Most
yep.
people with more than two brain cells to rub together believe that.
Yes.
Yes.
Or sharing them. But we, yeah, it, you know, watching some of those old episodes, though, I couldn't go back past first. And I've watched all seasons, but when I rewatched them back in 2020, because there was nothing going on, I think season six was as far back as I could go. I tried to go back further, and I'm like, oh, it's just so herky jerky, and the angles. Oh, it's just so. It was really hard to watch.
It was hard. Oh, I went back and watched them all just recently, mm-hmm. like last year. We watched them all again from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I love that show. Anyway, yes, it is fun to see how shows learn and grow.
Learn and grow. Yeah. Like we do, too.
That's right.
I will say that we hit one of our bingo card items with Darcy right off the bat, because she has sunk her life savings into this restaurant.
Yep.
And it's basically like saying, this is my dream job, my dream home. Mm-hmm. I can't sell it. I can't leave. Mm-hmm. All the ultimatums that, you know, will they play out in the end?
Mm-hmm. I loved her top. I just noted that, and I put a little picture of it in there in our notes because I thought it was really cute. I didn't notice that she was wearing a like skin colored turtleneck underneath it.
Until
later, and I'm like, why is her neck all bub? Oh, that's a shirt.
Oh, yeah, turtlenecks were a high time during that time.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, so obviously it was probably in the winter sometime when this was recorded then too, or filmed. Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting because Darcy, she tells us about, you know, this is the oldest restaurant in Seattle since around 1890. It was rebuilt after a fire. But there's been seven owners in the last 8 years.
Wow.
And I said, let me do my math right. That's like one a year. I mean, she doesn't want to be the eighth owner in 9 years to flee. Like that's a lot of people. And so is it just bad luck? Is it not understanding what they were doing? Was it always merchants? I'm assuming that they've always kept the same name.
I assume so. Well, but I know it's kind of a spoiler alert, but she still owns it now. So she's lasted a while. When did this come out?
2012.
So yeah, she's been there longer than 8 years.
Yep.
Was that 13?
I was gonna let you do it.
Get there.
I was gonna let you do it. I was like, she's got it. I'll just cheer her on.
I'm so good at math. It's my favorite.
I'm so proud of you. Proud of you. It was more than the number of fingers you have.
It is. I didn't even try to do it on my fingers.
I know.
I tried to do 10, and then I wasn't sure if I was supposed to add or subtract. That's what I always do. That's how my brain works. Now, do I have to add more to get to this year, or do I have to subtract?
Gotcha. Makes sense. But yeah, it just makes you wonder what else happened during that time. Because that can't all, I mean, it could be, but from what the other things that they described, I didn't get where people would be like fleeing from this restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, they have, they've had some glasses move or fall. They've had, you know, apparitions being seen, but it's not like we had the one where it was like throwing things across the room, or we've had a few of them, or like knives were flying or anything like that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see kind of as we go through here a little bit more as to what came about. But as we mentioned earlier, Amy made note that these were I can't remember the last place I've been that's had this many conscious entities.
Mm-hmm.
Which sounds exhausting.
Yes, I can't even imagine what she does.
Because what I picture when she said this is like a crowded open air market where everybody's like shouting over each other, trying to get like all the goods that they need.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to focus. So you're trying to like look around to everything else around you. And hard to focus on like, no, me, right here.
It makes me think of those old, I don't know if it still works this way, but you used to see those old videos of the stock market back in the day, and everyone's yelling and shouting out numbers and throwing papers in the air. And I don't know how they got any of anything done. I don't know how that just waving around and screaming something would, you just bought some stock. Like, I don't really understand how that works. But
it feels like it goes along with like an auctioneer.
Sold. Everybody's yelling. How do you even know someone's talking about you? Talking to you.
I don't
know.
At that point, I would be in the corner just
shaking
back and forth.
Me too. That would be way too much for me. Way too much stimulation.
Like, I can people, but that sounds way too people-y for
me. Yeah, that's very people-y. And screamy people-y. Not my thing.
No. Mm-mm. No, not at all. I'll take the dogs.
Yep.
And there were no dogs in this episode.
No.
Yeah, so Darcy, we have on this next part. This was one of my, like, someone made Steve do this, and it was just so dumb looking. So we are in a area where there's a wine bar on the back of the bar or whatever, and you know she's talking about that there was a miss there, and so Steve asked, "Well, anything else?" And she mentioned how when she was closed, you know, she had closed up one night, came back the next morning, and every single wine bottle was thrown out of the rack across the floor. And I sat there for a while. I was like, well, were they broken? Because it took a while for her to explain that they also were broken. Mm-hmm. And Steve just says, every bottle, every bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And so the wine rack is like in the, like attached to the wall.
Yeah.
And so Steve goes, this intact, this whole thing didn't fall down. And he like shakes it. He grabs it and like shakes it and then tries to like pull it. It's like, this is so not natural. Like he does not.
Well, he's making sure that we know that it really is in there.
Uh-huh.
And it's
but
not...
it was just the way that he described it, the way that he just like puts his hand up and he's like, so this. And I was like, this was somebody said, you need to make sure to do this.
Yeah. Show everybody at home who might be going, that looks rickety. That probably just fell over.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Steve just says, are you sure you weren't broken into? Well, why would somebody break all the wine bottles and not take them?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I mean, the only other thing I can think of is like, you know, when the George Floyd shit was going down here and people were being broken into just to trash everything. But unless that was happening in Seattle at that time, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-mm. Nope. And we don't know exactly when that happened.
Right. She never said.
Nope. And I know you had mentioned, too, that, like, again, older episode, there's a lot of jumping back and forth and like, different
Steve,
angles.
Amy, Steve. And
well, and then there's, like, the different angles where they're talking and it's not.
Oh, sure.
You know. It'll be like Steve's face and Darcy's back behind her head. And then the other side is Steve. And then it's Darcy's face. And it was all over the place. But yeah, you're right. They jumped back and forth between Steve and Amy a lot more. Like there wasn't.
Yeah. It would just be like Amy saying one little thing and then they're back to Steve.
I don't know if maybe they were trying to do more of like feel the connection.
I think they were trying to show this connects to this. And
I don't know if that was always in the early episodes, or maybe it was just certain people when they were kind of leaning on those ones. But yeah, this did feel very like, and then this happened, and then this happened, mm-hmm. and wow, this happened.
Yeah.
But I know in this also, Amy says that the evil guy spirit likes to break things when he's in a mood. Mm-hmm. And like, when I'm in a mood, I like to go for a run walk or do something.
That's much better than breaking shit.
Yeah. And now we head down to the downstairs.
The downstairs.
Basement. Which is also another bar is downstairs.
Yeah.
The bathrooms and the bar are downstairs, which it takes a little bit for that to like be explained.
Right. Right. I didn't catch all that either. And at the beginning, it's a really cool place though. Like it looks really cute.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to go and hang out there. It looks like a speakeasy down there. I'm sure it was. There's like a staircase and then a landing and then another staircase. And when they're talking about it, that she's talking about from where they are to the bottom, but then we're looking at it from the up to where they are.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing for me. It was confusing for me anyway to figure out which staircase they fell through because I didn't realize that there were two.
Yep. And we had, because at this point we were, you know, talking about like there was guests that have gone downstairs and there was one who felt like she was pushed down the stairs from that landing. And I was half expecting Steve to go, can you show me how hard she was pushed? Like, I was just waiting. I know it wasn't her, but, you know, that's usually the, well, can you demonstrate on me?
Yeah, he does that. He did that last week with Megan and I did one, and he did that. So that was on the bingo card last week. Mm-hmm, won't be this week, but
nope. And yeah, a woman said she saw a man coming out of the bathroom and said she actually went forward from the top like she was pushed.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was no man.
Hmm.
I don't know. So
is that when Steve asked? Steve asked if she was drunk.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Was she drunk? She said not at all.
No, not at all. And, you know, there's Amy. Then we jump back to Amy all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And Amy's talking about a guy with a part of his face is missing. First, she says his face is missing. And then later on, we just hear like part of his face.
Chunk. Yeah.
Which I have an explanation for that.
I saw what you wrote. Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. And Amy's like, yeah, this guy's like, get the fuck out of my way. He's dangerous. He likes to throw people down the stairs. He wants to throw me down the stairs. I thought throughout, not only was she stuffy, but she had this like Boston accent that kept going in and out. But it wasn't like a full on Boston. It was like a mini Boston.
Just a few words. Yeah, she does. Mm-hmm. I've heard her do that before. Not always Boston, but just different accents. Sometimes it's a Southern accent that pops out a couple of words. Mm-hmm. And I always think that might be because she's hearing the voices. Somebody that has that accent. And so if she's anything like me, if I'm in a room with a bunch of people that have an accent, I got the accent pretty quickly. I have to be very careful not to do that when I'm in Scotland.
I have a tendency to do that too. And I will tell you, when I taught in Kansas for a year and I met, you know, I'd been down there for 6-7 months. And of course, they were always making fun of, say bagel,
oh,
you know. And so I ended up running into somebody who was like, oh, this is my cousin from Minnesota. And she and I started talking and both of our accents just,
yeah.
And people were like, oh, wow. Okay. So, okay. Yeah. So, okay. I mean, it was just, it felt like you were in Drop Dead Gorgeous or Fargo because of how strong our accents came out.
Yeah.
And everyone has an accent. If you think you don't have an accent, you have an accent for the place that you live in.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. And the people that you think have accents don't think they have accents. So, yeah.
It just is the way that it is. And it's based, you know, a lot on the peoples who settled here at some point in time.
Yep.
So, you know, as we are going through this too, Darcy keeps talking about the bathroom. There's a woman that people see in the bathroom or go into the bathroom and then they're gone. And then she's, you know, she's not there. And then the people are, can I have my check and I'll go, please?
Yeah. Check, please. Whenever she said, and she said it several times, but whenever she said this woman goes into the bathroom, what I heard was this woman going to the bathroom. And so I thought somebody was like pissing on the floor and like a ghost was like peeing on the floor or something.
That would be like a residual then, right?
Right.
I mean, if something traumatic happened at that point.
Yeah. But I guess she was going into the bathroom and I didn't catch the in. I just kept hearing the two. She's going to the bathroom.
Yep. And kind of our last big thing that we hear with Darcy is she starts talking about, you know, Steve's like, so your plays are freaked out. How are you dealing with this? And she says, well, not well. I left here on a Friday night. I was so sick, really sick. By Monday morning, I went to the doctor. I had bacterial pneumonia in my right lung and it got into my bloodstream, sepsis. And I was actually in the hospital for 5 days. Now, she says they can't figure out how I got so sick because I'm pretty healthy. Later on in the show, she tells us that this happened 2.5-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Prior to the recording.
Right.
And my mom, who's a nurse, was just like, I don't know if that feels right.
Yeah.
For how she was presenting at that time.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that she wasn't sick or anything. Right. And mind you, again, not a doctor. But yes, bacterial pneumonia is something that can happen. You do typically breathe something in that's going to cause that. You're downstairs, you're in an old building that is in Seattle. There's dampness, there's mold, there's all sorts of things that you could breathe in. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're breathing it in every day, but you went into a corner and cleaned something out and inhaled something.
Yep.
And as I mentioned before, with like my, you know, whatever happened with the mold at my friend's house or whatever, because I didn't do anything about it for weeks, it got worse.
Yeah.
Just like all of us have pushed through some sort of cold or crud.
Yep.
And it often starts off feeling that way and then it becomes something more.
Yep.
A friend of mine's mom has underlying health conditions, but last year she got a cold, then got bronchitis, then pneumonia. Like she got every sickness, and she has multiple sclerosis. Mm. And so for her, any little sickness is elevated even more.
Sure.
But she went from one to the next, to the next, to the next. She was in and out of hospital stays for a while. And her doctor was like, if you get another infection, I don't know if you're leaving this hospital.
Wow.
So that's, you know, one of those things that, you know, she doesn't give us a lot of details, and maybe details were cut out of this.
Yeah. Yeah. She could have given everything to Steve.
But more than likely, she had symptoms prior to that and just overdid it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately left it untreated. And mm-hmm. if it, you know, bacterial infection can go in, when it goes into the bloodstreams, it is sepsis or septic, you know, you mm-hmm. get septic. Mm-hmm. And that's that bloodstream infection. They used to do sepsis was often called like blood poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've heard that in the past, they would watch, your blood could change color in your veins. And so they would watch, like if there was an infection at a wound or something, they'd be watching how far that blood progressed.
Yep.
To avoid getting into arteries and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I stepped on a ground bee and apparently I'm allergic to bees, well, to ground bees anyway. Not like anaphylactic or anything, but like I get very bad reactions from most bug bites, to be honest. But I stepped on a ground bee. Yeah. And it started, I finally went in because my foot was so swelled up that I couldn't even wear shoes. Oh,
yeah. You got a cellulitis in there too.
Oh.
Was it hard and hot?
It was hot. I don't remember it being hard. Maybe it was.
Mm-hmm. That's cellulitis.
It's
an infection from the stinger.
Oh, yeah. And so I had a vein on the inside of my ankle, right over that little bone in your ankle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the vein was black up to a certain part, and they drew a Sharpie. They took a Sharpie and drew a line, and they said, if it goes higher than that, get your ass back here immediately.
Yep.
And luckily it didn't. It went down.
So the reason I know that, because I got stung by a hornet or something that had bacteria on its stinger, and it stung me in the back of the thigh. 2020 summer, great time to do it. And I got in a cellulitis infection, which thanks Wesley.
Like I remember that.
He wasn't even alive. But it was it started off, you know, small, and then it got bigger, and we drew a marker around it to see how big it was getting. It eventually took over the entire back of my thigh.
Oh,
from
my God.
From behind my knee up to the curve of my butt cheek and around the sides.
Oh, my God.
And basically, if I had waited any longer to go get antibiotics, I probably would have needed IV antibiotics, which is what Darcy would have gotten, was IV antibiotics, which is probably why she was in the hospital as well, because I want to monitor those things, especially, I don't know if she had any underlying conditions otherwise, but pneumonia is one of those that you have to monitor if there's other infections that come in. And once antibiotics get into the bloodstream or into the system, things clear up pretty quickly.
Yeah, mine did but I got really scared when they were like, if it gets any higher than this.
Yep.
Yeah, it was really scary.
I got told the same thing. Basically, if it gets any worse, you need to go to the hospital.
Yep.
Yep. And again, we're talking 2020, summer 2020. Not a great time to have to go into a hospital.
No, not a great time at all.
But the antibiotics work. But I will tell you, that was, the skin got so hard. Like you could, it felt like you could go ting off of it. That's how hard it got. It was so hot. And it itched so bad. And it was so hot. I would take an ice pack and I would lay it on my thigh, and the ice pack would come across hot. Like it would come away hot.
Wow.
that's how much heat was radiating off of it. So those are, I mean, unfortunately, we've all done stupid shit where we have gone too long before going in to see a doctor.
Yeah.
And that's likely what played out here, just being shortened out into a, you know, not there, but those are typically the steps. It you don't get bacterial pneumonia out of nowhere, even though I know she's trying to claim that it was just paranormal. The spirits giving it to her. Yep.
It's the like only diabetes. Explanation. The only explanation.
The only explanation. So, but, you know, everybody has their ways to deal. Yep. But again, if she was also, you know, a smoker or anything
that's
like that.
That's what I was thinking. If she was a smoker and then she like inhaled some black mold while she was downstairs cleaning or something.
Mm-hmm. Or even at your house, or you were out, you went to a friend's house, or you did something different and you just, you know, I don't know how many times I've just breathed in a stupid bug because it was near my face and it just like, and you're like, ah,
I've done that. I've done that.
Gnats. Gross. And anyways, we'll move on from there, but just wanted to give a little bit of background on that because I know you had posed some questions in like, there. You did some research.
Yeah, I was like, I'd never heard of like bacteria from pneumonia going into your bloodstream, your lungs, sure, but your bloodstream. I was like, is that a real thing? And I Googled it and it was. And
yeah, then Amy it's just
got the rest of the info.
It's just it sounds simple, but it's. Mm-hmm. We've all heard of sepsis before or someone going into septic shock.
Right. I always thought that was when something ooky got like out of where it was supposed to be in your body.
It can be, but like, not always. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very, that can be deadly.
Yeah. Sure. We go back to the show. Amy starts talking about the religious woman who is always praying, but she's very dark, which I was like, this seems accurate. But she likes to pick on people. Also accurate. Sick and weak people she likes to pick on. And women.
Also accurate.
This sounds too accurate. Okay.
Thank you for listening. The Activity Continues. We'll be back after this short break. Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with 3-Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically-enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the Nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. You can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues.
Back into it. So, yes, woman, religious woman, picking on the sick, the weak women, because she wants to kill them. She can touch you, and she can make you fucking die.
That's what Amy said.
And then Matt actually asks, so I wonder if, as they were talking about, if she was, like, starting to say names or something, because Matt doesn't usually ask this question, but he did say, did you get a name for her?
Yeah, I noticed that, yeah.
And she said, Mary. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, Bloody Mary?
Yeah.
Oh, so Amy had the creepiest face when she responded to that. I can't remember. It was just like,
I'll get a screenshot of that and put it in the video version here.
Yep. Then we talked to the 2 employees. I don't think we gained that much by talking to the 2 employees.
Not really. I mean, the bartender had an issue with a glass that moved. Which
I know. And I was like, is that really the only thing that's keeping you from going downstairs? Yeah. Like it was on the bar and it slid away from him.
Yeah.
And now, some people, if you've done this test before, because I have, if you have just a little bit of liquid on a bar top and the bar top is very smooth, your glass, especially if it's got a little bit of a bubble underneath of it or anything, it can move.
Yep. That just happened last weekend when with Greg. He set his glass down on the bar and it literally went whoop and landed on the floor and broke, shattered.
You're haunted.
Yeah, well, that could be, but
yeah.
Actually, I don't think there's anything going on in this house, but the old house, yes, but not this. I don't think there's anything.
And well, and you know, it was kind of interesting because he said he reached for it and then it slipped away from him and it hit the edge of the bar and then it fell over and it smashed to the ground. Well, yeah, gravity is going to cause a glass to smash.
Sure.
Right? You just
said. And
if
said it's moving, I mean, I've seen a glass move awfully damn fast when that is happening, that water underneath. I have seen it go pretty fast. It's not like it just goes.
Well, and especially like if you bump the table with your hip, like me who runs into every fucking thing because I like think I've cleared it, but the bruises on my hips tell me otherwise. Or my thigh. If you bump it, then that's going to move it. Or if you're trying to grasp for it and you touch it a little bit, that's going to make it go too. So there are other explanations that, like, I saw this part and I almost put in here, Megan, that you?
I'm out. Megan shaped a hole in the wall.
Exactly. I was like, there's a Kool-Aid man cut out of Megan out the wall.
That's right.
But, and you know, like, that was just, it, and Steve even asked, like, you're freaking out. Was that just the one incident did that for you? And he's like, yeah, it's all it took to make me a believer. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe, but it just seems like there might be more behind that we're not talking about.
Maybe there were more things that happened. Maybe he's sensitive and he felt energy or something.
Oh, absolutely.
To go along with it. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, and just remember, a glass sliding wouldn't do it for me.
And remember, I'm always going to try and look for the logical type of explanation. I still believe in different things, but there's a lot of stuff that can be explained that when we're looking for it to be something, then we assume that it is that, even if it's not.
Yeah.
And I've done it. We've all done it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even Steve's like, so does it hurt you financially to not work downstairs? Yep.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I guess, I mean, it would be great if I could take some shifts, but I won't go downstairs. And it's like, maybe he's claustrophobic.
Maybe.
You know,
it being looks like pretty small quarters down there. It's not a tall ceiling.
And being in a downstairs area, maybe that sort of thing is difficult for him.
Yeah, could be.
And Amy talks about, again, this angry man and the religious woman, like, they're very powerful. They're the ones who are constantly coming forward, even though there's dozens of entities trying to get to her. They're making her sick. She's, you know, Matt asks how many are there. And she's like, I don't know, 20, 30, 40. Yeah. I'm going through all their deaths. Like, she's just counting. And she's like, there's so many layers. So much has happened. And it's like, well, apparently only if you knew about all the stuff of what we've heard so far.
Right.
And then Dylan, I just feel like they needed another person to talk to.
Yeah. Well, they did talk to him. They never said who he was. I figured out that he was a chef because they're in the kitchen.
Yeah, later on.
Yep. And they do mention later that he's the he's the cook or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he didn't have a lot of totally crazy stuff. But
he did see
an apparition, which, I mean, that's something because, you know, a lot of people would never. Steve would never see it.
No. And that's all it was. But I will say that as I was watching this, my mind was already drifting. But he's like, this guy has shown himself to me. And I'm like, that's an interesting choice of phrasing.
Yeah. And then Steve goes, can you describe him? Well, he was wearing a long trench coat and he went like this.
There was three kids on each other's shoulders. It was just awesome. Like, I was just like, that was an interesting turn of phrase to use. Most people say, I saw him, he was standing there, like, he revealed himself to me, like, he, like, not even reveal, he was mostly just like, I saw him.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Which is another turn of phrase back in a little bit when Steve goes, would you say he's from a time period? And I know he meant, is he from a specific time period? Can you tell us what year or whatever? But he left out that crucial word.
Yeah.
And it just sent me back to that vampire town when he said, hey, so anybody die here in this town?
Anybody else ever die here?
Nope. Nope. They're all still alive.
It's just this whole interaction. Just I was giggling about it too, because then Dylan, who's the cook, he would say, "Oh, I think he's from, you know, the 1800s to 1920s, you know," and he started following me around. Steve's like, "You're kidding," and I'm going, "Did he get a new puppy?" Like. So the things that go through my mind. Oh, and then because we're in the kitchen, the knives, which, by the way, are a colossal clusterfuck.
Oh, my God.
Why are they like that way?
That gives me anxiety looking at that
bunch of
knives.
Also, they don't look sharp.
No. And they're all facing different ways. There's no symmetry to any of them. And they're all different kinds of knives. And I feel like they just stuck them on the wall there.
Yes.
And
it's like somebody just picked them up and went like.
Like, yeah, threw them, see what it sticks.
Well, okay, you've got like what looks like a fillet knife. You've got a carving knife. You've got a paring knife just upside down. Like the handles are all like, are these original knives? Because some of them look very old and they're old wood handles that have gone through dishwashers.
Dishwashers, yeah. We have some of those.
Yep. And then Dylan, again, one of the other things that Dylan talked about was the bartender upstairs came downstairs to check on specials, and seconds after she got to the bottom of the stairs, a 60-gallon garbage can came bang, bang, bang down the stairs after her. I'm like, but was it full? Like,
yeah, it might have been an empty.
I believe that it was likely empty because she was asking about for garbage, the specials for the day.
Oh, yeah.
Again, maybe somebody hit it with their hip and it knocked down the stairs.
Sure.
I'm guessing it was probably sitting near the stairs.
But if you're already sitting downstairs and you're already freaked out because your fucking glass moved, and then you hear a blah, 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 you're probably going to be on edge.
Well, this was the different guy, though.
Oh, that's right. This is Dylan. That was Matt?
Yep. Matt was the bartender. Yeah. And then we cut right to Amy going, ooh, there's these creature things.
Uh-huh. We had little creatures in the last episode that Megan and I did. Mm-hmm. Little creatures running around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she starts describing them like crabs, but they're black and fast and scurry, but people might see them as mists, which we've heard from Darcy. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
So no thanks.
Yep. No, thank you.
I'm good with that. And then we'll jump into
you wrote in there, ew, David.
Yeah, because she says they could look like child-sized, mist, venge-filled, little nasty. And I'm like, ew, David. And then we get into the next part with Steve's
digging through
history.
Digging through the archives.
So I will warn people, there will be slight discussion when we get to the part about the botched hanging. That's
pretty awful.
That is really awful. And just some like facts about what botched might mean a little bit too, because there were actual ones that happened like that weren't because of the mob mentality aspect, but
yeah,
we'll fly through some of this stuff.
We don't have to touch on everything. Mm-mm. Real.
No,
we've been talking for a long time.
The first one, we meet Paige, who's a fire historian. And again, this is just one of those awkward setups. Like she's standing there like, what do I do with my hands?
Yeah.
And
they probably don't get a lot of stage direction from the directors and stuff.
And that is always the worst part, is not knowing what to do with your hands.
Yeah. I took a speech class when I was in like eighth grade.
Oh,
and she told us that when you're standing there and you don't have pockets or you don't have anything like anything to hold or hold your mic or anything, pretend like this is so dumb. I haven't thought about this in ages and it's kind of dumb now.
Core memory.
Think about holding two heavy guns in your hands in one in each hand and down by your side. So it like so that you feel like you're the weight is holding your the weight of these heavy guns.
I just learned to talk with my hands.
I did that all the time, and I think that's probably why she told me to pretend like I had guns in my hands instead of talking with my hands, because I did that a lot.
Depends on what you're looking for. I
was told to sit on my hands a lot.
I was probably told to shut up a lot. In a nice way. All we really learn about here is that there was a couple of fires and people died in them. You know, it was the Great Seattle Fire of 1889, which I've never heard of, but maybe either. That's a very regional thing because we had like the Great Fires in Hinckley area that nobody from not around here would know about. So
I don't think I heard about those either. But then again, I didn't pay attention in school. So
I go through Hinckley all the time. So and, you know, it was a pretty decent sized fire, but everything was made of wood. Mm-hmm. So, of course, if it's made of wood, it's going to burn. So then it starts going like, you know, we have a boy that dies. We have a couple of men that die. There was a couple of fires that happened. So, and we've jumped back to where Amy kind of connects with this. So basically everything back and forth Amy connects with, but she does call these things like stalkers, these mist-like things. They're bent on revenge. Mm-hmm. We don't have any story as to why these people would be so upset. Maybe they were forgotten, or maybe, you know, they weren't given a proper burial, or, you know, that sort of thing. I said, it makes me a little sad to know that these creatures were once human.
Yes. Yeah. That is sad. And that they died such a horrible
death.
Horrible death.
Yep. And after that, we go to Steve jaywalking. I just thought that was funny. I was like,
I don't even remember seeing that. Was that a drone shot?
No, because it was 2012. But they have him just like walking across the street. It was just some shots of him walking.
Like, he looks over like he's looking for traffic. Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah.
really, interesting choices.
Yeah.
And another great question is asked here. So I understand the original building was burned down in 1889 fires. How did it get rebuilt?
With materials and probably a construction crew.
First, they cleared the area of debris. Then a crew was hired. Materials were purchased. Probably nails and hammers. And this is when the building is built by a guy named John Osner, who runs the saloon. And, you know, the Merchants Exchange Saloon, which this building becomes a brothel eventually, a hotel brothel, saloon, all of those. Pretty typical of towns in that time.
Restaurant, gambling saloon, bar, gambling and brothel is usually how those go. Yep.
And the Palmer. Holy Trinity, I called it.
So
we have this, you know, we've talked about this in other areas too, but what was interesting is he talked about the panic of 1893 when the economy was just devastated. I'm like locally, or was it all over? Because I've not heard of panic of 1893. So I did a little looking into it, and it was actually across the entire U.S. and probably paved the way for the collapse in 1929.
Okay.
But apparently there was overinvestment in infrastructure for railroads and other ventures because they were growing westward. So they were creating all this stuff to support all the westward movement. But they didn't have enough to pay for it all, basically. And it caused the collapse of the National Cordage Company and the Philadelphia and Reading Railroads. So it looks like Reading, but it's Reading. Yeah. And it's one of the railroads that you see on Monopoly.
Yeah.
Banks and stock markets crashed. Unemployment rose. This is usually when there's times of unrest with civilians and is probably likely fed into the distrust of banks that then helped lead to the 1929 collapse that led into the Great Depression.
Okay.
So there's some links. I got information from HistoryLink.com and Wikipedia, but mostly just the HistoryLink.com. So I drop that into the show notes too.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that. I'll put that in the show notes. So,
just that I've never heard of that before. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
And you apparently have the same tablecloth that they have. I think we have it in blue.
I do. I have the same I thought you said
potato cloth.
And that's how I heard it in my head.
Yep. So back in the 1800s
I think it's 1889 with the FX Shriner. Is that where you're going to?
1898.
Yeah, 18. Oh, sorry. I had transposed. 18.
That's okay. I was transposing 98. Them too, and I had to think through what that was. So now we have a different owner of this business, FX Shriner, which I was like, was he related to the Shriner Circus?
Yeah, I looked, but then he wasn't because I did some research and it's not spelled the same way. It's S-H. It's S-C-H-R-I-N-E-R. E-I-I-E-N-E-R. I didn't correct it in the transcript, but I did later down, but not in this part.
Yep. And we learn about his wife, Mary.
Mary. We've heard about Mary before.
Mary was a very devout woman. Mm-hmm. She had gone to convent school. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that that was a thing, convent school. She definitely had the image to keep up, but she died in 1905, and she did not like what FX did with the gambling and brothel and all that sort of stuff.
And all that.
No.
No fun. She was the fun police.
Yeah. And we don't know exactly how old she was when she passed in 1905, but she did pass from tuberculosis, or what they called consumption. And
that should be on the bingo card because that comes up a lot, consumption.
Yeah. Shriner didn't really get over his heartbreak, so he brought in a new business partner named Otto to kind of run it while he went back to Germany for a period of time. We have no idea if he ever came back.
Yeah. No, they never said.
They said he went away for a period of time and then... Yeah. We said bye to Shriner.
Yeah. Bye.
And that, again, Steve and his questions in this episode. Steve is handed a picture of Otto Hank, and he goes, was he a bodybuilder or something? I'm like, it's 1905. I don't think bodybuilding was a thing. Strongman and boxer were.
Yeah.
But.
And George George Higby, the historian, says he was a wrestler.
He was a wrestler.
But I think the reason he asked that is the picture of Otto, he's topless.
Yes.
He's not wearing any, he could be naked. And when you think about like pictures of the old fighters, you know, that's what they look like. So I think
that's why my brain would have gone straight to boxer or strongman. That would be probably the precursor, but they wouldn't have called him they didn't call him bodybuilder.
No, they didn't call him bodybuilder well later. Back then. Yeah.
But yeah, so that just kind of made me giggle a little bit.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, Otto, he had a wife and he had children in town, but he frequented the brothels. So unfortunately, the consequences of his actions caught up with him, and he contracted syphilis at the age of 42, which then eventually ended up as neurosyphilis and dementia, ended up in hospitals throughout his life. And he was 79 when he passed away.
Yeah, so he spent a lot of years with that disease.
He spent almost half his life with this.
Yeah.
And actually, interestingly enough, there is theories that possibly Van Gogh had syphilis and had of the dementia or a neurosyphilis that would have caused him to act in some of the ways that he did. They were very promiscuous at that time as well. Yeah. And we actually went to the Van Gogh Museum in Amsterdam a few years ago. And the story of when he cut off his ear was he was in an argument with his roommate, and he went back to... They were out, and he went back to the house, and there was a sex worker there, and he handed her his ear and told her to go call the police.
Oh, God.
And that's when he was institutionalized. Van Gogh is fascinating.
Yeah.
Hear, because he changed his style so many times, but it was always to appease whoever he was kind of working for.
Oh.
So I think there's more to read into Van Gogh.
Sure.
That you get the picture of their death certificates.
Yeah.
So going back to Otto Hank here, he had a laundry list of words on his death certificate.
Half of them I couldn't spell.
I had to blow it up to look at it. So he died of pneumonia as well as syphilis. And then what looked like arthritis was actually pyelonephritis, which is a kidney infection. Because I could recognize nephritis, and then he also had thrombophlebitis, throm being blood clot, phlegm being blood. So he had a vein that no longer worked, which allowed the blood just pooled, and so and then he had
arteriosclerotic heart disease. Arteriosclerosis.
Yep.
Which is a hardening of the arteries. That's what my grandma had when she died.
Yep. Building up of the fats and other things in the arteries. Yep. Many people nowadays would have bypass or open heart surgery for those kinds of things. Yep. So, yeah, especially like the vein issue probably would have also been very painful.
Sure.
All of that, because, you know, if there are people who have really painful spider veins. And so, or blood clots and all those sorts of things. So
that's all not good. Not good.
No, nope.
Thank you.
Nope. And now we get a little bit more about the angry man being something about not being able to care for children. And he was very physically fit and maybe ran things with an iron fist. So it, we're made to believe that Otto is likely this angry man. And lastly, we go meet with a cop. I always find it funny that we have police officers or investigators of nowadays that are like historians or whatever. This guy actually seems like he did do, you know, they said he was a historian on some of this stuff. But a lot of the cases that we go into, they have, is like, I'm like, do you just go and talk to a, the police officer because they're a police officer and it was a crime that happened 100 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, are they supposed to know exactly what happened?
Yeah. Well, I assume that Steve likes to talk to other police officers because they have a connection. There's another
I'm not picking up which word you're wanting.
Sorry. I can't think of it.
Just shout it out later.
But it's a different word. I'll come up with it.
But yeah, so this is where we get into the mob mentality aspect.
And so, not mob in the kind of mob we've been talking about lately with the mobsters and the gangsters, the different kind of mob. Even worse kind of mob.
I was going to say the bad kind, but there's always, like, they're never good.
No, but yeah, this is bad.
Yeah, so
this is where it gets really gross. So if you want to, we won't go into it too much, I don't think. If we do, I'll make sure to.
Just briefly. But basically, there was a lynch mob that took two guys out of the prison. So in 1882, these two suspects were to supposedly have murdered a prominent businessman the night before. They were supposed to be arraigned in the morning with a judge to, you know, sentence them. However, somebody got them worked up. So this is where when I opened up, I said, you know, like, maybe they were led by somebody with nefarious actions or, you know, cruel intentions. And you get enough people and then you get everything kind of wrapped up. Three men were hung that day, but they weren't actually hung. They were strangled to death.
Yeah.
So all intents and purposes, they were meant to be hung until they died, right? Mm-hmm. But they were not in that manner. So the mob actually pulled them out of the prisons, put the rope around their neck and strung them up, but didn't do a drop door to break their neck, which is the quick death. They pulled them.
Yeah, the ropes were given to like people in the crowd.
And they pulled them and held them up there until they stopped moving. So they decided to have these people suffer for whatever.
I wonder who this businessman was. Did they even say?
They didn't say. They said his name was George Reynolds, but they didn't say anything else about him. I didn't look up, you know, anything. Okay. But yeah, so the thing is, when you watch a movie or something and they're always showing, like, you know, in the Old West, they're on a horse and they slap the horse's butt, or they're on a chair, or they're on a drop door. It's meant to be something quick so that it
snaps,
like literally snaps.
Yeah.
There are botched ones that happen where there doesn't cause that snap. And so there are things that happen with that. But that is what they were trying to do, or what they typically try to do. But that is not what this mob did.
Right.
The third man that came up and he was in prison for a month, supposedly of killing a police officer. However, Steve kept saying, so he was innocent. They hung an innocent man. Well, he wasn't innocent in the sense that he was not guilty.
He was not found guilty.
Well, he never had his trial.
Right.
But what it was, the cop that we're speaking to, Jim Ritter mentioned that, you know, this man had been in prison for about a month. Well, like I said, he may have very well been innocent, but he was in the wrong place, wrong time kind of thing. Police officer in plain clothes started chasing him, brandishing a weapon, and, you know, was chasing him down, telling him to stop or he'd shoot, and was coming after him thinking he was a robbery suspect. And the man turned around, because everybody carried firearms at that point in time, and defended himself when he was being attacked.
Yeah.
So not technically innocent.
Right.
But because he did commit the action, however, he was in self-defense.
Right.
So he was innocent of murder, I guess, if that was their whatever they wanted to call it. But unfortunately, the mob was so riled up that they decided to go and get this other guy out.
Yep.
And they put three on the... And he was coming up after, so he had heard the mob. He saw the other two. He knew what was coming to him, yeah, which is probably the absolute worst part.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So that is what we have of, you know, all the stuff that we went through in history. Okay. Then we get into, you know, the sketch was pretty straightforward, simple.
Yeah, pretty standard. Although they did have some really cool music behind it that I don't remember having heard in other episodes where it was like, oh, this is kind of a cool tune.
Oh.
Like, I could sleep to this music. It was kind of cool. It's eerie and, I don't know, it's cool.
Yeah. And then we got straight to, Amy, is this who you saw?
Yes. Yes.
So early on, we saw the questions change.
Yeah.
So now we're into our reveal.
Reveal. And
nothing brand new really comes out of this, but we do hear... I kind of found it funny because I think Steve says that Darcy didn't believe in any of this paranormal
stuff.
She's
a major skeptic.
I don't believe that for a second.
No.
Because I feel like she would have... If you saw seven other owners run out of this place and whatever they might have been claiming and you still purchased it...
Yeah. Well, actually, if she was truly a skeptic, she'd have been like, ah, they're just nuts.
I suppose that's true too, but... I guess business sense wise, you would be like, then what else is going, like, is there something wrong here?
I would have thought there's something wrong with the building.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, and so Amy starts describing, you know, a scene, what we just talked about. And Amy, you have a great point as to what Steve says here.
Well, Steve said, I mean, she almost nailed this down to what really happened here. And I was like, well, thank God Steve didn't say, you're not giving me a lot to go on. Because he's done that before when, like, just the one that Megan and I did last week, Steve said, well, I'm not really sure if that's what this is. And I'm like, she gave you everything. She just explicitly described this person. Mm-hmm. And what did you want? Her email address? Like,
well, now it makes me wonder if... You know, because we know that the order that they're shown in is not always the order that they are shot in.
Sure.
So I wonder if there are ones where they didn't connect. And so then he's like, well, I got burned the last time, so I don't want to say anything about them being. So if there's.
That could be.
Maybe that's it. Or maybe they're just like, yeah. We got to make this other spirit look like this, like we've heard before, too.
I think they connect stuff that doesn't connect a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then Amy's like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
That's not them. And they're like, well, we already shot all this, so we're going to keep it.
Yep. So, and then they just kind of go through, talk through what we just did. There is a picture, a painting, or a drawing that was done on that day. Just kind of like you have courtroom, you know, artists. They had this kind of sketch, you know, going on. Darcy's like, oh, I've never heard of this before. I'm sure, because why would you go look for it?
Yeah.
And Amy's just like, yeah, this is kind of a bad area. Like, there's a bad vibe and times that were here. There was a lot of parties and dancing and sex workers. She used the other term, but sex workers in general.
Right.
And, you know, she nails, you know, there's this lady who keeps coming out of the bathrooms and she's really religious and, you know, she's very solid, which means she has a lot of power.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, I thought that was interesting because Amy has said before that the dead people that she sees they look solid. They look like real people. Like, she doesn't even know that they're ghosts until she realizes that nobody else can see them.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm wonder if like what she means in this is that other people would see them as very solid because she's talking to, you know, she's not just talking to Matt. She's talking to the other people at the reveal.
Right. Right.
So and then she said, yeah, and her name's Mary.
Mm-hmm. Steve goes, what?
Chick. And Amy is like, her touch is a death sentence. And then,
oh, that's a good title.
I don't want to die.
Yeah.
Yep. And we don't hear anything yet. We just hear, you know, Darcy talks about seeing the woman. You know, Steve's like, you said her name was Mary. Here's this dude who had this wife. And, you know, here's a picture of her. Is this who you saw? Yep. So we don't even talk about like the she can touch you and you'll die sentence until later on. And I don't know if that was cut that way or if it just happens
probably
that the conversation
was an editing
goes that
thing.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otto comes up because it's a connection from Mary to FX to Otto.
I want to note at one point the transcription called him Out of Ink. His name is Otto Hink. O-T-T-O. H-I-N-K, and it called him Out of Ink, and I just left it in there because I thought it was funny.
And now you've got Hot to Go in my head. H-O-T-T-O-G-O. And Steve kind of goes into, you know, this guy contracted syphilis of the brain, and that's how he died.
Yeah, yep. I thought syphilis of the brain, I thought that was what all syphilis was. And I'm like, is there any other kind of syphilis? But I did look it up, and it is. You can get syphilis of other body parts.
Yep. And, you know, he was 42 again when Steve says that he was young. He was 42 when he started going a little mental.
A little mental.
He had dementia, sir.
Yeah.
But he spent, 37 years of his life in asylums, in and out of asylums.
I can't even.
And Amy's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? You know. This guy, he felt guilty because he couldn't take care of his kids in life, and now he's still thinking about them. Amy said he's very protective of his space. Matt describes the bar. You know, Matt and Darcy describe the glass and the wine bottles hitting the floor. And Steve's like, you know, your chef Dylan has seen this guy like 15 times. Do you think this is Otto? And Amy's like, yeah, I think it could be. I did a sketch of the man I saw. And we get a picture that looks like it could be Otto older.
It could be anybody.
It also looks like Bill Murray.
It does. It does look like Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy's wearing a hat and he's got hair. Yeah. Otto didn't wear a hat in that picture anyway. But he was naked.
A derby, it looks like
a derby hat with a ribbon on it. And then he had hair. But I mean, he had the square jaw. Who knows? And then he had the giant piece of his face missing.
He's missing a piece of his face, which syphilis can cause oral ulcers and other things, or the picking, you know, that would be going on. So, because again, you're unfortunately dementia and other things go on. So, So they couldn't figure. Amy's like, I couldn't figure out, was he shot? Was he stabbed? Was he, you know, did he have a cut? But it was likely a wound from his disease.
Yeah.
And, you know, Amy just kind of talks through like the black mist that these were these people that died in the fire. We hear more about the fire. There's not that much other stuff that goes on here. Right. Except that Amy said, yeah, you know, it's unusual. They can make people pretty sick. They can make you feel like you're getting chills, nauseous and can't breathe, which, by the way, are signs of sepsis. And then Darcy says, 2.5-3 weeks ago, I left here. And by the time I got home, I was so sick, I went to the hospital. Now, remember, she told us that she went home on a Friday and by Monday she had to go to the hospital. So
right. And then she was in the hospital for 5 days. So that's like a week and a half right there.
Yep. So here she's saying, by the time I got home, I was so sick, I went to the hospital and I had pneumonia in my right lung. Bacteria from the pneumonia got into my bloodstream, blah, blah, blah. So again, everything that we talked about already, I was like, I didn't realize it was this recent because she looks pretty healthy in the episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, and my mom said she was kind of a little curious if that was accurate, because if she had all of that, she'd be pretty wiped out still.
Yeah.
And there are different levels and severities of sepsis or blood infection.
Sure.
But if she was sick enough to be in the hospital for antibiotics for a few days, yeah, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Like right. I said before, we all have pushed through something that maybe we shouldn't have.
Right.
And I start figuring out, like, so can they keep working here? And Amy says, it's not safe for you to be here, and don't go in the basement.
Yeah.
Which, it's like scary movie.
Yeah. Don't go in the basement.
And, you know, more than likely she picked up some sort of infection somewhere. Yeah. That's what we're seeing. And Amy tells her, there's things you can do for the lady. The way to get rid of her is to find a medium who has a background in counseling and who is also hopefully is some type of healer. If it goes well, they'll get to the point where she just leaves.
Yeah.
If the medium isn't making any headway with her, you're going to have to make her leave. And that obviously involves a type of exorcism. And
yikes.
Darcy is like, what?
Yeah.
Let me pick my jaw up off the floor. Amy says the other thing with that medium is for her to do a cleansing on you so you won't get sick again. As far as he's concerned, she points to Otto, I think he should stay. And then a voiceover of Amy says, when I first encountered the angry man, he was lashing out and it made me really nervous. But after a while, it became clear he was only trying to protect his location. And she looks at Matt, the bartender, and says, I know you don't want to hear that. And he says, if we can play along well, then I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. And then Steve says, well, what are these creatures? Amy goes into, well, the way that they died was awful and there was no respect there. Mm-hmm. I would like them to have a funeral service followed by a blessing. So if they have a funeral service, they move on. That's, mm-hmm. you know, like they're so upset about something. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. maybe they just didn't have any family and nobody ever knew what happened to them. So nobody cared to look for them other than they found some bodies in there.
Right.
And she said, well, it's part of the process. A funeral and then a blessing will help them move on. And he's like, well, who made Darcy sick? And she's like, the woman, Mary. You know, Mary likes to pick on the women. Mm-hmm. What would she do if she doesn't listen? What if Darcy doesn't listen to you? Well, they'll try to kill her.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great, great thing. So the ever-present question that mm-hmm. Steve asks, Darcy, Starfy? That was weird. Darcy, sounds like we got here just in time. What are you going to do? We're going to do it. We have nothing to lose. Actually, you have everything to lose if you don't do it. But
exactly.
That's just me.
Yeah. That's probably what she meant, but that was a weird way to say it.
Yep. Well, we get to the final credits. And isn't it the consequences of my actions showing its face again?
That's
immediately
right.
After the investigation, Darcy failed to follow Amy's advice. Her health is deteriorated and she is seeking a priest to perform an exorcism.
Yep.
So let's not do the easy work that we were shared and told to do.
Yep.
And by easy, I'm being facetious, but...
Well, not super easy, but probably easier than an exorcism. I mean, you could have at least tried something before...
Exactly.
...having to resort to that. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, I hope she's okay. Mm-hmm. And then I did some research on the building and the bar the way it is now and all that. And
mm-hmm.
yeah.
It does look like a really cool place, but they shut down for a little while over the winter.
Yep.
They reopened. I did go onto their website. And music automatically plays, which yeah. is a pain in the butt when you were trying to look at
something. It didn't automatically play for me. I know you warned me, but it didn't for me.
It did on my phone because there was an ad at the bottom.
Oh.
So because they have an ad for, because they have YouTube videos that are set on their main page. So that
The YouTube video, when I got to that page with the history or whatever, that one did start playing automatically.
Yep.
And I was
what the hell is going on? Yep.
Who's talking?
Yep.
Because I couldn't see the video. It's a video at the mm-hmm. very bottom. Like you
very
said.
Bottom. Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Because they have from different investigations that have been done there.
Yep. They have done quite a lot of stuff there. Mm-hmm. And they have one of the bartenders now, which is not the guy that we saw in the episode. No surprise. He has a haunted tour. He calls Drunk History Meets Dead Files. I kind of love that.
Yeah. Yep. And there's some stories on there from Darcy of some of the encounters, including a doll some guy brought in to give to the little girl upstairs, who we didn't hear anything about a little girl.
No. But and it said something about there being two children running around the basement.
And she would, the girl would come and take the doll when she wanted it, but the doll's still sitting behind the bar.
Hmm.
Yep.
She must have outgrown it.
She also thought it's creepy.
Yeah. And it's not like a creepy doll. It's like a like a Mattel doll, you know?
Yep.
A pink kid's doll. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I'm not saying it's not like, haunted. I'm just saying it's not
it's
like...
It's kind of like the size of the American Girl dolls, but it was not an American Girl doll. It was like a combination between an American Girl's doll and a Cabbage Patch Kid. Like,
maybe it was a budget Dollar Tree American Girl type doll.
There we go.
Who knows? Yeah. Anyway.
So it definitely looks like a cool place.
It does. It looks cool.
I wish that some of the information that you had found on her was not quite so...
Yeah,
disheartening.
I'll put some notes in the show notes. We don't have to get into it here, but there were some scuffles with employees that didn't seem to be in her favor. So, you guys can read about that if you want to.
Yeah.
All right.
So I think that's all I got. I know it was a long one, but
it was a long one.
Well, we did start talking. You and I were talking for about 20 minutes before.
I know
started.
We did talk for a bit before we started. That's all right. So anyway, thanks for joining us, you guys. And I think that's it. I'll put in now what we're doing next week.
Okay.
It's my turn to pick. Mm-hmm. I picked an episode called Afflicted. It's from season 5, episode 7. It's in Covington, Louisiana. Steve and Amy investigate paranormal activity, devastating a terrified family. While Steve, it's that gin I talking. While Steve digs up information on the original owner's outrageous life, Amy endures an excruciating walk where she encounters a demon.
Ooh.
And I picked it because I was doodling around on Reddit and asking people, like, which episode should we do? And I don't know if somebody answered me or if they were just talking about episodes I liked, but somebody said this episode got them sober.
Oh, wow.
So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
Awesome. Sounds like a good one.
That's why I picked that one. All right. So thank you, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with The Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and yes, make fun of it, but we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with The Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.